Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Sanhedrin Daf Kofei. We begin on the seventh line off the top of the Amid. We begin with a pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah, describing a conversation, interaction between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the pasuk, Madua Shoiviv Ha'om Hazeh Yerushalayim Mishuva Nitzachas. Mishuva Nitzachas means an irrefutable argument. Amar Rav. It's referring to a response that Klal Yisrael responded to Hashem. Mishuva, Teshuva Nitzachas. A response which is difficult to refute, difficult to challenge. So on its surface, it seems like it's an argument that cannot be refuted. Teshuva Nitzachas, Heishiva Knesset Yisrael LeNavi. So this was a response to the Navi. Omer Lehen Navi LeYisrael Chizru B'Teshuva LeNavi. Exhorts Klal Yisrael, do Teshuva. Look, Avi Seichem Shechatu Heichanhem. Where are your fathers that died due to their sins? Quickly, repent, come back, so that you don't experience the same sad ending. So Klal Yisrael responded to Navi. Okay, what about the prophets, the tzaddikim? They also died. They didn't do any chet, and they're not around. So apparently, it's all the same thing. Shenemar avayseichem ayehim, v'nevim haloilom yichyu. Nevim don't either last forever. So what's the difference if it's a tzaddik or... But then the Navi set them straight. Chazru v'hoidu. Of course, then they conceded to the Navi's position. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ach dvorai v'chukai asher tzivisi es avodai nevim. The pasuk there explains. He gave them a distinction between the way the Rishayim died, the ancestors who were chayt'im, how they died. They died all kinds of unfortunate, painful deaths, misais mishunais, to atone for their sins, and we don't even know where they are today. Maybe they're, you know, still experiencing hardships because of their punishment, because of their avarice, versus the Nevi'im, who, although they died, but they died naturally. So clearly there's a difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, and even in the way they die. And that was what he had to clarify for them. Says the Marsha, so then why is it called a teshuva nitzachas? As though they presented an irrefutable argument to the Navi. So he says, because although later on they agreed, they came around, but according to their initial understanding of his words, they had a pretty strong response, which was not really easily refutable. But then he came back and he explained to them what he really had in mind, and now they understood. Shmuel Amar, he explains that the Teshuva Nitzachas that the Yisrael presented to the Navi took place under the following circumstances. Bo Asar B'nei Adam, Yoshua Lefonav. 10 people got together and sat down in front of the Navi. Amar Lehen, he turns to them, please, Rabbi Yisai, here's your opportunity. Chizru B'Teshuva, please, turn around your lives, do Teshuva. Amar Lehen, they say, well, it's over. Our relationship with Hashem is over. Eved shemachir rabbi. Imagine a master sold a slave off. Visha shegeir shabala. A woman whose husband divorced her. It's over. There's no turning back. Klum yesh lazel zeh klum. Are there any claims? Are there any expectations going forward? Of course not. It's over. It's terminated. Likewise, our relationship with Hashem has been terminated. Omar loy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Novi. Hashem sends a message. Tells the Navi, please, correct their misconception. We're still connected. There still is a relationship. It's a temporary lull, so to speak. Emor Lech Emor Lehem, please tell them. Eiza Sefer Krisis. You compare yourself to a divorced woman. Where is the get? Where is the divorce document that you claim was issued? Eiza Sefer Krisis. Imchem Asher Shilachtia. Oy mi minoy shay Asher Merchati Eschem Loy. Did I sell them off to one of my creditors? This is relating to the mashal of the Eved that was sold by the... Not at all. You're still mine. You've turned your backs toward me, but you're still mine, and you can easily turn around and come back. Your mother was sent away because of her misdeeds. You were sold because of your sins. So it's a punishment. It's a temporary status. As soon as you either clean up your averis through the einish, or you do teshuvah, I'll take you right back gladly, anytime. A Rish Lakish explains the pasuk Ma'idach Siv, David Avdi, Nevuchad Netzer Avdi. We have a pasuk in Shmuel giving David the title Avdi. Hashem says he's my servant. We have a pasuk in Yirmiyah, a startling pasuk. Nebuchadnezzar Avdi. How could you compare David as a tzaddik? Nebuchadnezzar is the worst of the worst. Hashem anticipated this attitude on account of Klal Yisrael, and therefore he stipulated in advance. Hashem knew full and well that Yisrael will claim that they were sold off to foreign powers, Nebuchadnezzar, etc. They're no longer connected. Hashem, in advance of this, called Nebuchadnezzar Avdai. He's my servant. And Eved Shekana Nechasim, and we all know that if a servant, a slave, acquired possessions, to whom? It belongs to the master. Eved Lumi, Nechasim Lumi. Just like the Eved belongs to the master, so do the possessions that he acquired. So although Nebuchadnezzar, so to speak, acquired us, took us away from Hashem, but he himself is merely an Eved of Hashem. And therefore, we're still in Hashem's rishus. We have a pasuk, Va'ela al ruchachem hoye loisiyah, asher atem oimrim niya ka goyim. We give up. Let's just be like the goyim. Nish k'mishpachay sa'rotzeis. Be attracted by their idols, by their ill pursuits of wealth and fame and Eitzim v'avonim, l'sharis eitz v'avon. Chayon inum Hashem melkim, Hashem promises. Im lo biyot chazoka, uv'zorei netuya, uv'chei meshefucha, em l'chalich. I'm going to ensure that you come back. Be what it may be, whatever it takes. Biyot chazoka, zorei netuya. V'chei meshefucha. With anger, with whatever, I'm going to get you back. So I'm going to be addressing your averus. I'll atone for them. I'll cleanse you. I'll give you ein shem, whatever it takes to get you cleaned up and back home. Omar Rav Nachman kol ki arischa lirtach rachmon alan. I wish all this anger, all this sternness, all these punishments, Hashem should just do it and take us back already. We live for a kinyan. Halavai, Hashem should do it and take us back. We have another perspective on the Teshuvah Nitzachas that responds to the Navi based on a pasuk in Yeshaya, V'Yisroel Amishpat Elokav Yoyrenu, which means Omar Rava Babrachana Omar Lehen Navi Yisroel. The Navi turns to Yisroel, Chizur B'Teshuvah, come back to me. Tashem Omar Lehen, they says, well, we can't. Einon Yecholen, we are totally controlled by the Yetzer Hara. We're far gone. It's over. Yetzer Hara shaylit banu. Amar Lehem responds to them, no. Yasru Yitzreichem. Beat down on Yetzer Hara. Overcome him. Amar Lehem. So he says, well, Hashem wants us to come back. Let him take care of our Yetzer Hara. Let him do it. Elokav Yoyrenu. Let him force the Yetzer Hara to leave us alone, to take us back to the right path. And if he's not doing it, we're not responsible. And of course, this sounds like a very convincing, compelling argument, which is a total misconception. Right? As the Mefarshim, the Adramah explains, because we all know that one has free will, free choice. Now, bol etayr, all a person needs to do is make an effort, take the first step, Hashem will give him siyata d'shmaya. So this is a pretty lame argument. Although on the surface it sounds pretty convincing, but in reality it's just deception, just misrepresenting the truth. Arba idiotis. We have four individuals who lost their portion to Elam Habam. Bilam, who was actually not a Yid, we'll see in the Gemara, discussion about this. V'doyeg v'chitefel v'yechazi. Why was he called Bilam? Bilayam. Because L'asad Lavi, he'll be without a connection to Kal Yisrael, he will not have a chelek l'Elam Haba. The reason for Bilam, Shebilam. Rashi says, Bilbel Yisrael bat Sasai. He messed up Kal Yisrael through the Eitzah, through the bad advice that he gave to Balak, that tripped up and caused our nation to sin. What is Ben Ba'ir? Shebo al Bi'ir. Bi'ir is an animal. So he was physically involved with his mule, as we're going to see soon. Tanav going to the Braisa. Hu Ba'ir. So Bilam's father, Ba'ir, had many names. Ba'ir is the same as Hu Kushan Rish Asaim, the king of Aram, mentioned in Sefer Shoftim, who was battled by Asniel ben Knas. Hu Lavan Harami, listen to this. He's the old Lavan Harami. Yaakov Avinu's father-in-law tried to destroy him way back then. So his son carried on the tradition. Ba'er, why was he called Ba'er? The father, Shebal Be'er, he also got involved with his animal. Kushan Rishasayim, the Avad Shtei Rish Uyais B'Yisrael. He twice exhibited wickedness against our nation. Once, way back in time, Achas B'Mei Yaakov, V'Achas B'Mei Shvaita Shoeftim. Later on, Ashmai, what's his real name? These are all descriptive terms based on his activities. His real name is Lavan Arami Shemai. Now, one place it says Ksiv Ben Ba'er, indicating that Ba'er was Bilam's father. Uksiv Benoi Ba'er. Elsewhere it says Benoi Ba'er, which sounds like Ba'er is Bilam's son. Amar Biechanan, Aviv. Although Ba'er was Bilam's father, Benoi Hu Loi Benevius. In terms of levels of prophecy, it was like his son, because Bilam was a greater Navi than his father. Okay, Bilam Hu Loi Asi La'am Ad Asi. Now comes the obvious question. So Bilam lost his chelek l'Elam Haba. Apparently, we can infer from here, Ha'ashar goyim achrinei, other goyim do potentially have a chelek l'Elam Haba. He lost it, but others have it. That's a chiddush. Mas nisin mani. Who's our Mishnah following? Rabbi Yishui. The Sanhedrin, the Braisa, a machlokes regarding this question. Does a goy get l'Elam Haba? If he keeps, you know, his obligations, his sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. Rabbi Elazar Omer, how do we learn the pasuk in Tehillim? Yeshuvu Rishayim L'Shoila Kol Goyim Shecheche Elihim. Says Rabbi Elazar, the first part, Yeshuvu Rishayim L'Shoila, that's referring to Elu Poshe Yisrael, the sinners amongst Israel, Elu Zerchelek L'Elam Haba. The second part of the pasuk, Kol Goyim Shecheche Elihim, Elu Poshe Avdikachavim, and there's a girsa that switches it to Elu Umos Ha'olam. This was the original version before the censors switched it to limit it to the wicked amongst the goyim. No, all the goyim, elu umas ha'olam, they all do not have, you know, the chelek le'olam haba. That's Rabbi Elazar's shita. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shua disagrees. He says only the wicked amongst the goyim will not have, but otherwise they will. Amar Rabbi Shua v'chi nemar v'chol goyim, or there's a girsa kichol goyim. The goyim in their entirety? No. V'haloi lo nemar ela kol goyim shecheche lehim. Right? It doesn't say kichol goyim. It says kol goyim, which means to say that within the goyim, those that are shecheche lehim, that oppose Hashem, that they will not merit. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, you read it like this. Ella, rather, Yoshuvu Rushem L'Sha'ila. Who are the ones that end up in Sha'ila and Gehenna? Maninu. Kol Goyim. So even amongst the Goyim, only those that are Shecheche Elohim, like Bilam, etc. But otherwise, others, even amongst the Goyim, will do have a connection to Olam Haba. And Rashi over here brings the Gemara back on Tafsadik Aleph, based on the Pasuk of V'ro Uzorim Tzoynachem Ubnei Necher Ikareichem Olam Haba. The Goyim will come help the Yidden, tend to their flocks, and, you know, take care of their affairs and be our helpers. So, basically, Goyim do have that potential. The Rambam, interestingly, the Rambam points out that we're speaking about Goyim who adhere to their Chiyuvim, they will Mekayim their Sheva Mitzvahs, and the Rambam adds an interesting point. When does a Goy get Olam Haba? If he keeps his Sheva Mitzvahs, that's only if he kept it for the sake of doing the mitzvah. He was doing it to fulfill Hashem's will. But not just if he was doing it out of, you know, to be, you know, morally and civilly, okay. Right? Not just because of seichel, he says. There has to be a divine element to it, a spiritual element to it. In that case, says the Rambam, he connects to spirituality and he connects to some sort of, you know, Olam Haba experience that he will have. V'af oise Rasha nusim sima ba'atzmei. Even this Rasha, Bilam himself, understood that it's very likely that he will not have Olam Haba. He made a simon, sort of a litmus test. He said like this, Omar, because remember he said, Tomois nafshi mois yisharim, utihi achrisi kamayu, which means like this. We'll see, im tomois nafshi mois yisharim, if I die naturally, right? Tehi achrisi kamayu, so then that will be indicative of my Olam Haba that will follow. But otherwise, he dies in an unnatural form of death. I'm going to go to my nation, I'm going to connect to Gehenna like the other guy. So he knew full and well that his situation is precarious, and of course it turns out that he was killed, and that pretty much confirmed it. Okay, on the topic of Bilam, we have the Pasuk Vayelchu Ziknei Moav V'Ziknei Midian. So the elders of Moav, with the elders of Midian, approached Bilam to try to, you know, get him to come curse our nation. Tana, we learned in Brisa that they colluded for the moment, because really they were arch enemies. That are bad blood, really going back many years. Midian, the Moav lo yehayu lahem shalom olam. The people of Midian, the people of Moav, never had much in common. There wasn't much peace amongst them. But still, they cooperated, they were in cahoots with respect to getting Klal Yisrael cursed. It's like the story, Mashal L'Shnei Klavim, Shoi Be'eder, you have two dogs that were in charge of, you know, guarding the flock. They always mad at each other, right? You see dogs always fighting with each other, right? There was this, you know, intense competition between them. Let's put it that way. And suddenly they faced a common threat. Buzz Eivala Echad. Suddenly a wolf attacks one dog. Omar Acher says the other dog to himself, I better come and help him. Imani Oisra, if I don't go help the first dog, you know what's going to happen? Today's going to kill him. Tomorrow's going to come to me. Hayom Hoyrego, you say, Lamacher, tomorrow he's going to come attack me. Balai. So they made a marriage of convenience and they both ganged up on the wolf and decimated him. So people of Moav and people of Midian weren't really on the same page, but since they both felt threatened by Klal Yisrael, so they made this temporary ceasefire amongst them to gang up in our nation. That's the way people say. You have a rat and a cat who aren't really on the best of terms. But avodu hilula, they made this party mitarva debish gada, a party from the fat of a person who had bad mazel, meaning they both ganged up and attacked their victim and devoured him. Vayeshu sori moyevim bilam. So the pasuk initially spoke about the people of Moab and the people of Midian coming to invite Bilam. And then it says, well, the people of Moab lingered with Bilam. What happened to the elders, the officers from Midian? Sorry, Midian, where did they disappear to? Because once Bilam turned to his guests and he said, look, I acknowledge that I am helpless in the face of Hashem. I'm just, you know, a puppet. Please, stay overnight. I'm going to check in upstairs and see what Hashem wants me to do. Amru, so the people of Midian said, well, it's a non-starter. It's a waste of time. Hashem will allow him to curse his dear children, Klal Yisrael? Never. Since one does a father hate his son, of course not going to happen. So they figured, waste of time, they're going back home. I'm not Papa. But in any case, what do we see? That he was given the green light to go and curse. Because chutzpah, an expression of brazenness, afil klapishmayiman, he could work even with respect to Hashem kaviyachal. The Maharal explains, Hashem leaves the door open for us. If you really want it, if you insist, right? Person really insists on doing wrong, you know, Hashem doesn't get in his way. Hashem tries to discourage you and all that, but chutzpah filu klap b'shmaya mahani, it can work. Because initially Hashem tells Bilam, keep away, don't go. But then, when the pressure was put on, so to speak, go ahead and accompany them and go ahead. Amar Rav Sheshes, chutzpah, this chutzpah behavior, malchusa b'lo togahi, has power. It's like a malchus without a crown, meaning it has power. It can accomplish. If you push hard enough, you can accomplish. It's just missing a crown. It's not like a real malchus, but it can. Tichsiv, as the pasuk says, v'anoichi hayoyim rach u'moshech melech. So this was when Yoav killed Avner, and David told his people, v'anoichi hayoyim rach u'moshech melech. So although he was a melech, he couldn't punish Yoav. Because Yoav was a strong, confident person, and he says, listen, I'm anointed as a king, but he also has power, because he has chutzpah, he has that willpower. Rabbi Yochanan, Bilam was actually a crippled man. One foot wasn't really working too well. Shenemar vayelech shefi. So his limb was sort of out of place. He's limping on one side. Shimshon, the great Shimshon HaGibor, believe it or not, he was crippled on both feet. V'shtei raglo, shenemar shefi fine. So shefi is one foot, shefi fine, on both feet. They were both dislocated. Ale oirach hanoyshechik v'sus. Apparently Hashem, perhaps the point is that Hashem wants to show that it's not human power that accomplishes things. Shimshon HaGibor, the great Shefi, he accomplished extraordinary things. Fought great battles with the Plishtim and was victorious. Mighty power. It's spiritual power. It's not attributed to the physical. Look, he was a crippled man. Right? Perhaps on the same note you can say about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? In a similar sense. Pasuk says he was Kvad peh, kvad lashon. You tend to think about a leader as being, you know, articulate and always has the right words to say, engaging personality. Moshe Rabbeinu, kvad peh, kvad lashon. That's why he hesitated to go to Pari. Perhaps the same point. Hashem is showing that He appoints leaders. Leader represents Hashem, who leads us. He doesn't need to be the most articulate, charismatic individual. A crippled man, a person with slurred speech, can convey the word and the deed of Hashem. Bilam suma ba'achas me'inav haya. Bilam was actually blind in one eye. Shenemar shesum ha'ayin. So only one eye was shesum open, the other one was sort of closed up, out of business. Koisim ba'masay haya. He would make these kesamim, a form of like kishuf and whatever, using his amo, his aver hazocher. The ksiv hacha, noifel ugliyinayim, because here it says, noifel ugliyinayim. Ksiv hasan by Megillas Esther, by Haman HaRasha, it says, v'hinei Haman noifel alamita, and just like over there, the term noifel, relates to interaction with a woman here as well. Neifel relates to that part of the body. Itma we learned today. Drasha, the Beis HaMedrash, Mazutra, Amar, Kaisim HaMasahaya. So he used that aver for his to ply his trade. Ma'ar Brei de Ravina Amar Shabu Al HaSoinai. He interacted with his mule. Manda Amar Kaisim HaMasahaya. The first one is, as we explained, because Neifel indicates that. Manda Amar Baal HaSoinai. How do we know he interacted with his animal? Ksiv Hacha, Karash Shachav. Of Hassan, with respect to Yisra, who interacted with Ya'el, Bein Raglea, Kara Nafal Shachav, just as Kara Shachav over there means physical involvement here as well. He got involved with his animal. V'yadea das Elyon. He had an insight. He understood the Deya of Hashem Kavayachal, what's going on in heaven. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? He couldn't even win a simple debate with his donkey. With his mule. You think he knew what's going on in heaven? Hashta das behemte lo havayada, das elyon. You think that he knew havayada? What happened with his animal? My das behemte, what does that mean? Darmer lay, so the people there asked him, what are you doing traveling on this cheap mule? What happened to a nice, a man like you should have this fancy Rolls Royce? My time aloy, rachvas asusya, why aren't you riding on a horse? So what did he respond to the Sarei Mayav? Amarlu, he says, well, yeah, my prize horse is sitting in the stable. Shadoi Lubertiva, I left it, he's pasturing out there in the grass, and I'll be back soon. So in the meantime, I'm using the Amarlu, suddenly his animal speaks up. What are you telling him stories about horses and Halayanechi Asencha? I'm your loyal animal. Latina Balma, no, he says, well, you just carried my loads. I don't really ride on you. The animal continues. What are you talking? Asher Rechavta Olai. Ah, Kroi Balma, just, once in a while, you're not my regular, vehicle. What are you talking about, says the mule. Me'oid Chavadei Mazeh. It's been this way from day one. V'lo'yoid, and furthermore, I accompany you physically at night. El Shani Ois Lecha Masi Ishus Balayla. Right? As we said before, because here it says, Ha'askin iskanti, the animal used that language. Ksivhasam we have with respect to interaction with a woman, Tilay Seychenes. So the animal won the debate, knocked out Bilam. He couldn't even win over his animal. How can we say he's Yedea Das Elyon? He understands the goings on in heaven. Elamav Yedea Das Elyon, what does that mean? She Yedea Lechavan Isa Shah. What he knew was that there's one time during the day that Hashem expresses anger for a slight moment, for a fleeting moment, and he could pinpoint that moment and utilize it for his purposes to curse Klal Yisrael. He's going to take advantage. He's going to cash in on that moment. The truth is that all throughout that period, Hashem refrained from expressing this fleeting moment of anger to deprive Bilam of his access. That explains why the Navi later on told Klal Yisrael, you should be happy, you should be thankful to Hashem. Ami zecherna mayat balak melech mayav aman ana oyisay Bilam ben ba'ovin hashitim. Remember that whole back and forth between Balak and Bilam. Vada gilgal l'man das tzidkeis Hashem. This way you know Hashem's graciousness to you. What does that mean? May l'man das tzidkeis Hashem. What did he mean to say? He meant this very point. Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, if you would only know what was going on behind the scenes. Do not come or stalk us, as he said, how many favors I did for you. So, when Shittim Ad Gilgal relates to that period between the Averas that took place in Shittim until they came to Eretz Yisrael and they did Achet in Gilgal. All that, throughout all that period, I have never expressed anger. During Bilam's lifetime, you know why? Otherwise, he would have taken advantage. He would have cashed in on it and cursed you, and he would have been successful. If I would have been angry during that time, Bilam would have been so successful, he would have wiped you out. From any enemies of our nation, there would be nobody left. It's a euphemism, basically. We would have been wiped out. That explains Bilam's comment to Balak I'm helpless. I lift up my head. I can't do anything. Ma ekev, how could I curse? Loi kabe kelev, Hashem didn't. Uma ezem leizam Hashem. Okay, on this topic of the moment of anger, daily moment of anger, keil zoyim b'chol yoyim. There's zam every day. V'kama zam, how long was the last? Regular, just a short, quick moment. Shenemar, as it says, kirega ba'apoy. Apoy is Hashem's anger. Just a moment, kirega, right? Chaim b'rtzayim. Iboy yisema, another source. Leich ami boy b'chadurecho. Uzgord lasecha ba'adecho. Chavi kimat rega. Wait for a small moment, ad yavar zam, until the anger passed. Emas rasach. So, approximately, when exactly is this throughout the day? Betlas shoy kamaisa. It takes place within the first 3 hours of the day. We'll see later. That's the time when people get up in the morning and the idol worshippers connect to their idols. That arouses Hashem's anger. So when exactly? Ki chavro karbalta. Karbalta is the crest over the tarnagoyla, over the rooster's head. When it bleaches, when it turns white, when it pales. That's the moment of anger. Says the Gemara, well, it's not always perfectly red. Sometimes it has white in it. Kol shata v'shata, even throughout the day, nami chivra, it's a bit white. Well, kol shata v'shata, throughout the day, is beisraik esumki. It always has some streak, some redness to it. Ah, yishata, but at that moment, when there's anger, less beisraik esumki, it's missing those red streaks. Oh, mina, there was this heretic, this non-believer, troublemaker, dava b'shevusei, the Rav Shmuel Levi lived near Rav Shmuel Levi. Dava k'metzara Levi, he was giving him a hard time. Yom echad. So one day, Shmuel Levi figures, okay, I'm going to finish him off once and for all. I'm going to pinpoint the moment of anger, I'm going to curse him then. So he took the chicken, nakat tarnagot, v'asali bekari, tied it to the bed, to the foot of the bed, v'oisiv, and he sat opposite the animal. Omar, he figured, okay, I'm going to hit the right moment. Kimotahu shata. When the moment of anger comes, Elati, I'm going to curse the fellow and I'm going to be successful. So happens. Hashem didn't want it to happen. Kimata Hushat. When that moment came, with the crest whitened, Nimne, Rishon Levi sort of fell asleep, dozed off, and he missed the moment. Omar, he figured, okay, this is Bashert, Min HaShemayim, it's a message from heaven. Shemamino, apparently, Lava Irach Ara. It's not proper to curse. Not proper. Even though he's not worthy of this person's a bad guy, but it's not good even for a tzaddik to serve as a vehicle, as a means of transferring punishment to somebody. You forgive and forget, let Hashem take care of him. Even these minim, these real troublemakers, I shouldn't be speaking about cursing him, etc. It was said in the name of Ramir. Why is it at the first period of the day? Oh, when the sun rises, and the various non-Jewish kings put on their crowns and mishtach macham and bow to the sun as their idol, that arouses Hashem's anger. Miyad koyes. Okay, back to Bilam. Vayakam Bilam abayker vayachpoish escha soynei. He got up in the morning, and he strapped up his animal, which is really a lowly menial job, which he typically would not be doing. This man of high stature, but he was so driven by anger. We find that ahava, passion, love, and vatalas shur shagdula disrupts formalities, right? So even great people will sort of lower themselves, go out of the way, do something which is not befitting their status because of ava to their subject. Where do we find that? Me Avram, Avram Avinu, Tachsiv, Vayashkim, Avram Abayker. He got up early in the morning, strapped up his donkey, got himself going because of his ava to Hashem. Rashi says, ava, she'ava, kadosh baruch hu, Avram, and so on, switch it to Av Avram Sakadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting, I once heard a word. It says the Asor Nesiyonis. Avram Avinu was Nesnasi, he was tested by Hashem with 10 very strong challenges. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, why lo yidiach yibasoi shel Avram Avinu? Which was meant to be an expression to bring out the love of Avram Avinu. So some learn, Chibasa Yishil Avraham Avinu, Hashem's love to Avraham Avinu. It was Hashem's opportunity, so to speak. Hashem was giving him the opportunity to bring out his commitment to Hashem, which would explain Hashem's love to Avraham Avinu. Hashem wanted to prove to everybody, to the Malachim, look, this is my man. It was an expression of love, of trust, of confidence, of closeness between Hashem and Avraham Avinu. That's why he challenged him. To give him the opportunity to rise to the greatest heights. So it works both ways. And as the difficulty is Hashem's way of showing us his love, how much he believes in us, how much he trusts us, how much he wants us to grow, how much he believes in our potential. And likewise, when we overcome the Nisayin, of course, it's an expression of love to Hashem. How much we're willing to endure to stay close to him and stay loyal to him. Okay, in any case, this was Avam Kakalas Ashura, and then we have on the flip side, Sina, hatred. And Vatalas Shura Shagdula does the same regarding Bilam. He Bilam, Shanama Vayakam Bilam Baker, and he himself personally prepared his car, Vayachvash Asoina, because of his hatred to Klal Yisrael. He didn't wait for his people to get up and do it for him, he did it himself. Amar Vidam Arav. Loilam, what else do we learn from Balak? Loilam Yasik, we know that he brought many sacrifices, many karbanis, although he was doing it for completely ulterior motives, to pave the way for the Klala against Klal Yisrael, but fact is, karbanis are karbanis, and they have merit, which were stored for a later date. A person, irrespective of his level, of his madrega, just learn, just daven, do mitzvahs, even shalei lishma, if you're doing it to get paid. Because ultimately, it's going to lead to the highest level. So just do. Learn to do mitzvahs, even if it's not with the most purest of intentions. Eventually, you're going to be so drawn into it, and you'll develop a real appetite for spirituality, for true ruchnius, which will bring you to lishma. Now, interesting, some learn. Let's see the next part. How do we know? Shebeschar arboim mishtaim karbon et sheker balak. In the merit, in the schus, the 42 karbanis that Balak brought, even though it was shulei lishma, it was to facilitate a klala against Klal Yisrael, it still, it was stored in the bank, zocha v'yatza men rus, because of that he had rus later on, the mother of Malchus Beis David, right? Amar Yisrael Chanina, rus bita shel Eglon, she was the daughter of Eglon, the king of Moav, ben benoy shel Balak, melech Moav hoisa, granddaughter of Balak. Interestingly, some learn that mitoich shalei lishma bal lishma means that the actual Torah, the actual mitzvah that one does shalei lishma, that in itself, bal lishma, after a while, it gets relabeled. It stays sort of pending. It stays hovering somewhere, and later on, when the person himself gets to the point of learning the Shema, he incorporates that earlier activity and turns it into the Shema as well. It gets transformed into a higher being because it latches on, it attaches itself, it gets absorbed into his Lishma activity that he's doing currently. And that's what happened here with the Karbanis. Right? The actual, that's the point of the Gemara, the actual zechus, the merit of shalei lishma carried on, stayed on, and was expressed at a later date. Amalei Rava l'Rava Bamori. You see, one pasuk says, Ksiv, this was when David HaMelech's people spoke to him after he instructed that they anoint, that they appoint Shlomo, his son, interesting, bracha. Hashem should give Shlomo more success than you had. Is that appropriate? Is it appropriate to tell a king, well, your son should surpass you? Amar Leh, so he responded, Me Ein Ka Amar Leh. It wasn't literally that he's going to be better than him. He means to say, Me Ein, he should have a similar experience to what you had. His Malchus should might be as successful as yours, but not greater. Because otherwise, if you're not going to agree to my interpretation, take a look at a different pasuk. Where Yoel, who killed Sisera, right, was also blessed. Tevoirach, Minosham, Yoel, Eshas, Chevra, Keni, Minosham, Boel, Tevoirach. Who's Noshim Boel? She'll have a bracha greater than the Noshim Boel, than the noted women. The matriarchs, the Imois. Noshim Boel, who's that? Maninu, Sarah, Rivka, Rachav, Leah, where it says Oel regarding each one. So is that proper to give her a bracha greater than the Imois? The point of the pasuk is to say that just like they had brachas, she also should have. Vachanami here as well by David and Shlomim Ein Kamar. Who pliga with this interpretation is unlike the Rabbi Yosef Bar Choyni, who learns it literally. The Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Choyni, Bakoil Adam Eskane, a person tends to be jealous of anybody who seems to be more successful than him, seems to be, Chutz M'Brei V'Talmida, except for his son or a student. A person is never going to be jealous about his son, even if he's more successful than himself. Likewise, his student. He views him as an extension of himself, not as a competing entity, right? What's the example of Benoi? Mishloimai, right? Because he was given a bracha greater than his father and he wasn't perturbed. What about the second part of the Talmud? Where do we find this phenomenon by a student? By saying one pshat could be because Elisha requested from his Rebbe, Elio Anovi, V'hino pishnai b'ruchacha Eloi. I want to have twice as much success in terms of Tchias HaMesim, right, than you did. And Elio was not perturbed by the request. Apparently, did not arouse any ill feelings. You buy the same another pshat from Moshe Rabbeinu Yeshua. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, V'samachta is Yod Cholov, when he appointed him as a leader, place your one hand on him, and that's going to give him the status. What did Moshe do? Both hands. He added to it. V'yismech es Yodav Olav, V'yitzaveh. Apparently, there's no jealousy, there's no ill feelings, there's no feeling of competition at all when it comes to a son or a student. Vayasem dover b'fi Bilam. Let's go back to Bilam. Hashem placed something in Bilam's mouth. What did he place? Rav Lezer Oimer Malach. Hashem sent a Malach to restrict his expressions, his words. Rav Yosson Oimer Chaka, some sort of trap around his mouth, a muzzle. Sounds like a literal, a physical muzzle. So he shouldn't be able to speak more than he's supposed to. Maybe it means like a he restricted his function, his verbal functions. If you want to know, you want to have an idea what Bilam had in mind for us, take a look at his brachas, because his klalis were overturned, were converted into brachas. So if you flip it back, you get an idea what he had in mind. You see what he had in mind. Because he says, and all the wonderful things. Bikish, Leimar, what did he really want to say? We shouldn't have shuls and places to learn. Hashem converted it to the positive. And he says, he praised our tents, praised our shuls. He wanted that we shouldn't experience Hashem's presence. Instead, what did he say? Mishkanech Yisrael, that the Shechina should be Shaira on Yisrael. He wanted to say, Shloi, Te Malchus Hanim Sheches, our Malchus, should not have success, should not be enduring. Instead, he said, Kenecholam Nitoyu, that our Malchus should flow and should be continuous like a stream. He intended on saying, Lo Yehilam Zeisim Akrab, they shouldn't have any olive groves, any vineyards. Instead, he said, "Keganois alinor." He wanted lo yirechan noidef. They shouldn't have a pleasant aroma. Rashi learns it means to say they shouldn't be zeichet to fulfill mitzvahs. Instead, he said, "Kal holim not Hashem." Holim is a type of perfume. They should have it. Lo yulem malachim alikoyim. They shouldn't have imposing, tall, imposing kings. Instead, he said, "Karozim alimayim, tall cedars." Lo yilam melach b'melach. They shouldn't have continuous kings, a son taking over his father, it should be a sporadic, unpredictable system. Instead, he said, Yizal Mayim Medolyoy. Right? Just like the water drips out of the, flows out of the pail, the next king is the son of the previous king. Calm, continuous, predictable system. Loitei Malchusan Shaletas Ba'umais. Their Malchus should not extend over the nations. Instead, he said, Vizari B'mayim Rabim, to extend over the Mayim Rabim, all the nations. Loitei Azam Malchusan. Their Malchus shouldn't be strong and secure. V'yorei Ma'agag Malkai. The Malchus Yisrael should be strong. Loite ayu malchusam, the nation shouldn't have any fear, should not be intimidated by the malchus Yisrael. Instead, he said, "V'sinasa malchusay, it will happen." Amar be'Abba Rakhama. Kulam, when Klal Yisrael sinned, all these brachos actually reverted back to Klolus, chazru leklol, except for one. Chutz mibatek nisis mibatek midrashes, except for the shuls and the yeshivas that are still here forever. Chutz mibate knesiyas mibate medrashayis, which refers to the opening statement Matov Olecha Yaakov, that stayed on. Shenemar vayafach Hashem okecha lecha es haklala livracha. Hashem overturned the klala to bracha. Only one stayed that way successfully. Ke'evcha Hashem lekecha. So klala means a lashon yachid. Only one of them remained as a bracha. V'loy klala as opposed to the other ones, which unfortunately all came about throughout history. But the shuls, the batei midrashim, they are our arei miklat, places of refuge, where we escape the tumultuous and stormy rivers out there, spiritual onslaughts from all sides, all types. So that's our place of refuge, that's our place of shelter. Spiritual entities, the batik nesiyas, the batik midrashes, shibazecha, to have all the klolos overturned to bracha, mer b'meinu, amen. Okay, just in summary, we have discussion regarding the bechira of a person. So it's mistaken to believe that a person is just, you know, predestined, everything is programmed. It's not true, although they claimed as such, but it was incorrect. We still have a going relationship with Hashem. Whatever is happening is just temporary lull due to our misdeeds, which can easily be turned around and restored. We have the discussion regarding Bilam and all Shaila, whether Goyim have Shaychus to Elam Haba, Machlekes. The Rambam, as we said, Paskins they do, provided they keep the Sheva Mitzvahs with the proper attitude. We learned about the fact that the Ziknei Moav and Ziknei Midian made this sort of temporary truce to gang up on their common enemy, Klal Yisrael, who they felt threatened by. He went to curse, but he wasn't very successful. He tried to be mechaben to the moment of anger, which Hashem suspended all throughout that time. Mandas, Siskei Hashem, we had his conversation with his donkey, describing what a lowly man he was, although he was a prophet amongst the Goyim, but it says nothing about his inferior character and his lowly behavior, as opposed to the leaders amongst Klal Yisrael, who were just the opposite. They're through and through pure and holy. We discuss Shalei Lishma, which eventually does bear fruit, as we find regarding the Karbonis of Balak, which was a chus for Rus later on. We discussed Matav Olecha Yaakov, which is still enduring throughout all the years of Golus. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.